episode 2 of Walk Me Through the Orchard, a podcast dedicated to honoring the stories of the residents of Granby Hill in Provo, Utah. I'm Kristen Ridge, creator and host. Last week, we sat with Larry Johnson and enjoyed learning about what life was like on Granby Hill during the 1940s. I really loved hearing about what it was like to share water with everyone. It was eye-opening and humbling to listen to his stories. Today, we are so happy to be with Julian and Val Kendall, who have lived on Granby Hill for going on 34 years. Julian spent her childhood in Riverside, California, and Val spent his early years in Ogden and Orem. They met in 1964 at BYU in a performing group called Program Bureau that was a forerunner to the Young Ambassadors. They were married in September of 1966. After living in California for a while, Val received a job offer from BYU TV and radio to do advertising. So they moved to Provo with their 6 children. They had a wonderful home that they rented on Ash Avenue in the Tree Streets near campus. They only paid $150 a month for rent. They settled in and created a life there that was just wonderful, developing rich friendships with neighbors and church members, having opportunities to serve in their ward and stake, and their children growing connected and invested in their friendships, school, and activities. Julian worked in ESL at Wasatch Elementary and was devoted to creating a curriculum for the entire district as well. After 10 years working with BYU, Val started his own advertising agency and 5 years later was still growing strong with it. Then a most unusual event happened. To say it was unexpected would be an understatement. Something happened that in one day changed the trajectory of their family's lives. After 15 years in your home, everything was going just like clockwork for you and your family. Julian, how would you describe how you felt about your home, your family, the life you'd built there for you and your home on Ash Avenue?
I felt really comfortable there. I always thought, oh, I need to own a home. You know, everybody's dream is to own their own home. But the home was perfect for us. The kids were there. They had good friends. The ward was nice, and we loved being in that area. It was close to shopping, close to the university, so it was just a comfortable feeling. Yeah. And the thought of moving just didn't come to my mind at all.
Right, you thought, we're here to stay, mm-hmm. We've got everything, just going to just stick it out here.
Yeah, and our kids, some of our kids were older. We had a son that was on a mission, and our daughter was a senior in high school, and so the thought of moving them out was kind of difficult.
Right.
And we had a big garden in the back. We could could teach the kids how to pull weeds.
Well, that's a
yeah, it didn't do work well.
Right, but everything was the way you'd pictured and the way you were content with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then this really unexpected thing happens, and we'd love to hear just how it all started, everything you were thinking, and what happened.
Weren't expecting this at all. You said unexpected, and that is truly the word to use, because one day this man knocked on the door. I didn't know him. He came in and announced that he was the son of the woman who owned the home, and that he had been renting a home in Orem with his family for about $1,000 a month, which at that time was quite a bit of money.
That's a lot.
And then he announced, so I've been talking to my mom. I'm going to inherit this home. So we've decided I need to move in now. So we need you to have someplace else, be gone in a month.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a shocker. We just were not totally not expecting it and didn't know what to say to him other than, okay.
Right.
There was nothing else we could do. I am not a person who suffers from depression. I haven't had that issue to deal with in my life. But this was something that actually put me into what I would consider a depression. Mm-hmm. I felt like our financial situation is such that we really can't afford to buy a home right now, which is what we would love to do. The rent that we were paying was so minimal, the thought of having to try and get into something was overwhelming. And I remember specifically a Sunday morning, and I was lying in bed, and it was time to get up and get ready and go grab the kids and get them going.
This is just after he had come.
Yeah, the Sunday after he had come. And I was just lying there thinking, you know what? I can't do this. I just can't do this. And I'm just not going to do anything anymore. I got state callings and ward callings, and we try to take our kids to church, and we try and do family. You know, it's the whole story.
Right, but you were just completely overwhelmed with shock, it sounds like.
Shock and just feeling like, I don't know how we can possibly do this. I don't know. And lying there, the thought came to me, your mother would be so unhappy with you if you don't get up and go to church. Because that was my thought. I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I got up, got dressed, got the kids off, and we took off over to the chapel, walked in. And the program for the Sunday, that Sunday, had a scripture on it. And the scripture was Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, which I was doing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So it wasn't just the scripture. It was the songs. It was the talk. There's an old saying, you know, it was as if somebody had slapped me up the side of the head. That's an old saying. And yes. I thought, okay, all right. And at that moment, I said, all right, I do not know. I have no idea how we're ever going to be able to accomplish this in a month, let alone have the finances to do it. But I'm putting it in the Lord's hands, and I'm trusting. I'm not going to lean.
And it would be nice if it just transitioned really quick and easy.
That would be very nice.
But it didn't, for some obvious reasons. Pardon me. Even though I was running my agency and I had some clients who had actually come to me and said, we need your help. And I was going through all of those clients and doing work for them. The fact that I had not owned the home, so we had no equity. It was a brand new ad agency. Meant that as soon as we started going to the banks and the credit unions to see about the loan for buying a new home, they all went through that checklist and said, you may want to talk to somebody else.
Right.
You don't look like a really good risk to us because you're just starting a business and you don't have a real long track record and you don't have that equity to pull into it. So she had a good reason to be concerned.
Absolutely.
As both of us did. But it was then the beginning of a good test of faith.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we started the process. Find the older kids to watch the little kids, get in the car and drive around. And in the meantime, his sweet parents said, we have some money set aside. We want you to buy a house. We don't want you to rent again. We can help you with a down payment, or we can help you with equity. And that was able to give us a little bit more comfort in doing what we needed to do. So we spent the first 2 weeks just driving around the valley, trying to find a place that we felt like we could afford.
We had a friend who lived out in Orem, who's a realtor. And so we contacted her, and she started driving us from Santa Quinn to Lehigh. And every time we would go to a new place, and these are so expensive compared to what we had. Because it was a fairly nice big home that we were in.
Right,
and so we had space for the kids, and we had big yard and garden area. And trying to find anything like that was a really big economic challenge.
Exactly.
So we go all around and we're looking everywhere, and by 2 weeks we are both just depressed.
Panicked.
And you'd had the bank after bank saying, no. Yeah.
And so we were just finally about ready to give up ourselves. We were thinking that, yes, trust in the Lord is fine, but we've been everywhere. In fact, she was getting really discouraged. And then finally we came over on Grandview Hill. And she said, as we're driving around, okay, I'm going to show you one more place. I hope I don't get in trouble over this. We said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, it's been for sale by owner, and they don't want to list it, but they gave me permission to show it, but I can't list it.
Mm-hmm.
I've shown it to another younger couple,
mm-hmm.
and they made an offer that was way under what the couple wanted for the home, and they turned it down. And the couple said, don't show it to anybody until we can find a way to get the money. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to show you anyway. And then mm-hmm. she pulled up in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, we've driven by this house at least six times.
We've seen this one.
We've seen this for sale by owner sign out in the front yard. And it was not what we were interested in.
Yeah. It was not the home I wanted to upgrade her to.
Yes.
And it looked for sure like it was going to be way too small for eight person
family.
Yeah.
But we pulled up in front. I got out of the side of the car. Just as I'm getting out, the owner pulls in and his truck into the driveway. Hmm. And he pulls in and I look over at him and he looks at me and he says, Val? And I said, Russ? And we had worked together for a number of years at KBYU-TV in Evan.
That is something.
And I thought, oh my goodness.
What's the chance?
So we hug and say hello, and then we start walking in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk in the front door, and I will have to compare our memories, but...
Uh-huh.
Oh. No, I think we both thought, oh, this is where we need to be. We just knew. And he says he thought, oh, no bargaining power here because we know we're supposed to be here. So
you both had this feeling on the outside of it. You looked at the home, you thought it's too small. But literally on walking in, you had this is like another type of intervention or something. Like
this is where you're supposed to
be. Change of heart.
Yeah.
Wow. That's.
And so we went around the rest of the house and, yep, we liked it. And, yes, this has the space. Didn't believe it would have, but it did. And so by the time we finished the tour and we're sitting down with him, we said, Russ, we really like your home.
Yeah.
But we got a little problem here. Mm-hmm. And then I explained to him the whole thing. We'd been to the banks and so forth. And, and he says, well, you know, I think I can help you on that. He says, I think I have the last simple assumption loan anywhere in the state, probably, which means... You give me a check for $100, I send it off to the mortgage company in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They'll send me paperwork, which we fill out, and I make the decision of who takes over my loan. They don't.
Yeah.
And I've got no worries. Nice. You can take over the loan, and then, but with the realization that if you ever defaulted, then it comes back to me, and I have to take the responsibility financially. But I'm not worried.
So was that something that was a simple assumption loan? What did he mean? I have the last one.
Well, what he meant is they don't offer those anymore.
But he was able to.
That particular mortgage company still
offered
it.
So an FHA loan, and it was like it was one of the last dinosaurs of the loaning system. Or...
Right, that they could do it this, that he could do it this way, that he could decide and it didn't have to go through the mortgage company.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it wasn't for any banker to say, well, they're not a very good risk.
Right.
Russ felt like, oh, I know you, we've worked together, you're fine.
That is...
Little did he know.
So when he said that, what were your feelings? Like, what were you thinking when he said that?
Trust in the Lord. And it was... the only way we could have gotten into a home.
Yeah.
Absolutely the only way. And so all of the thoughts of we can't do it, we don't have enough money, we can't apply for a loan, they won't accept a loan, all of those thoughts were on the lean not unto thine own understanding, because that was our understanding, we can't do this.
Right.
But once we left it and said, okay, we're going to have the faith to see what happens.
And then it went beautifully after that.
Yeah.
Not didn't mean no challenges. There were challenges. I still had to make the business work, and she was still doing work with at that point. Were you?
Yeah. Just, but part time. And then his parents gave us the money to cover the equity that Russ and Lori had in the home, and so that helped. But we still had to come up with a much higher monthly payment on the loan than we had before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much about this story that is just, it just kind of makes me speechless. You know, some interventions are sent from heaven and some aren't, and some are a mix. And I see this story as, first, this man comes and he was trying to do what was best for him and his family. And then you're caught in the wake of that. Mm-hmm. So Heavenly Father stepped in with this, you know, mortal experience, this other family needs your house right now, and created all these opportunities. I just am just mind blown.
It truly was inspiring to us. It was a very important step of one of many steps of faith that we experienced after we moved in the home. Some of the most major spiritual growing experiences in our life happened after we moved into here.
And there's ones that wouldn't have happened in if you'd stayed. It was unique to this area and the life you were building here.
I think the kids, in many ways, the
older kids were in the same schools, so they knew they already had friends here in the neighborhood. They were welcomed beautifully. The other thing that came to me was, it wasn't without the trial of faith and work. Had to have the faith first to say, okay, we're just going to go ahead and look. We don't know how we're going to do this, but we're just going to go ahead and look. And it was also the faith of the Merrills to say, you know, we trust you, and yes, we can help you out. We can be out of this house in 2 weeks. That in itself was another part of the gift.
Right.
That they actually could arrange it to be out of the house in 2 weeks.
Because usually it takes several months, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's just so.
And
lots of
I would say that the thing that really we learned right off is that we had had the thoughts, well, we needed to get out of that house up there on Ash Avenue so this family could get in and be associated with all these wonderful neighbors and friends that we've known for years. This is why they need to be there.
Oh. That's why we need to be out.
Well, that's so generous.
But what was it?
A year later.
They had a little fire in the basement. Not critical, didn't destroy the house. They had a little fire break out in the basement. Mm-hmm. Sold the home and got out of there immediately.
Really?
So then it dawned. It wasn't for them. Oh. It wasn't their need. It was our need.
Right.
It was the Lord saying, I got to get you moving on.
Yeah, you need to be someplace else. And it has gifted us in the end, because now we have a home that's paid for.
Right.
And we love the neighborhood. And our kids have grown and been strengthened by friends here. So.
And there was a strong motivation to make certain this worked. Russ was a good friend. He was putting his trust in us. Mm-hmm. That was a huge motivation to make sure my work brought in clients and could pay this mortgage every month.
So nothing would
go back to him.
I know.
So that was why it really was all of the elements combined worked beautifully to help us take the next step we needed to make. We, before the Ash Avenue, we had owned a home in Salt Lake, but we had been in it such a short time, we didn't feel like we could ask much for it when we sold it.
Yeah.
And that's why we ended up on Ash, just kind of renting that. And then it just got too comfortable.
Right. So are there any other things that are emotions or thoughts as you kind of look back over the last... I guess it's been, it was 1990, almost 34 years. What are the most, the strongest emotions and thoughts? Any more in addition to what you've shared about when you look back and say, wow, here we ended up, and this is what we really needed to learn by being here? Or this is what stood out to you the most?
I think of one thought, and that is, I really felt like, even though we knew this is where we needed to be, I felt, okay, this is not our long-term forever home. Uh-huh. We'll be here for a little while, and then we'll move on to somewhere else. But now, at the stage we're in, an age, at this time in our more mature life,
yes,
it is perfect for us. It's not too big. It has a nice, manageable yard. It's with the people we love and feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah.
That now it's comfortable.
Well, how wonderful that it fit your stage of life then, and this many years later, it's fitting you now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just remarkable.
I know anywhere we would have been, there would have been opportunities for learning and growth and service. And so that may not be unique to this area, but the people we've come to know over those almost 34 years have really had an impact on our lives in both the lessons they've taught us and their example and just good neighbors
mm-hmm.
and friends. The people we've come to know across the whole hill has just built up with every year. We get more and more people that we're acquainted with, and all of them have just been a source of strength. So it's been really wonderful that way.
Well, that's how I felt about this hill too, even though we're in our 12th year. So I've got a ways to catch up to 34. I just felt the same way about it. But being able to hear you tell your story has been a powerful experience for me, and I know for everyone that listens to this. It's shown me that families can handle unexpected things and can even thrive when they happen. So thank you for sharing your story. It's shown me the strength of your spirit and your courage and your faith.
That's it for this episode of Walk Me Through the Orchard. Join me next week as we listen to Liz Malmgren share a super funny story of her youth. Remember, we would love to hear your story too. Please contact me at 801-687-1044 if you would like to participate.